All right, welcome back to the Coast to Coast to Coast podcast. I am Chad. I am your host, and I am here with two, and who knows, maybe three of the coasters. Jim and Chip are both with us in audio and vocals. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Doing great, Chad. I'm actually not in my North Coast, a little bit more south this episode.
Yeah, I didn't even know what to say for that part.
Midwest, you are more Midwest than anything.
Is that where it's at?
Yeah, I think you're the most middle of the West.
All righty.
I think that's the actual Midwest, not the fake Ohio Midwest.
Yeah.
Haha, he's back. And there we go on the East Coast. We've got Dale, the broker. We were wondering if you'd make it on with audio there.
I think we might be okay.
All right. All right. You sound a little different.
Yeah, a little bit different of a setup here. So let's see if this is more reliable.
Coming live from the metaverse.
Let's solve all of our problems.
So I am out in San Diego as always, and Dale and Jim are back home. Chip is on a little bit of a travel kick right now.
Yes.
For pleasure, right?
Correct. And funny enough, I am in Norman, Oklahoma. And if that sounds familiar to you, that's because our quarterback made his college career here in the University of Oklahoma. So
when you say
you
mean, because I've been on Twitter all week. When you say our, do you mean Cleveland's? Because it certainly doesn't seem that.
Right. Now, you're 100% right, Chad. It's in the air, and it is very controversial right now. But you know what's funny? Oklahoma, well, actually, I should say Norman, Oklahoma over here, they don't have a football team other than their college team. So they are just as big as Baker fans as we are. So it's kind of fun for me to go out and around the town, wear like a Cleveland Baker shirt or something, and get good compliments on it. Feels good. It's good group of people out here, and it's work, but I always try to enjoy it while I can.
Well, hit a sports bar once or twice while you're there and see if you can get some insight on what everybody out there is thinking.
All the Browns
wounded. Yeah, right.
See if they're as wounded as we are. We are going on our second off-season pod. It's been pretty crazy getting this deep. We have a lot to talk about today. My goodness, the wildest weekend of football I can remember. And I don't know if I've ever had a playoff weekend with this many crazy finishes, nail biters, upsets. It was just insane. So we're going to get into all of that. We have a little bit to poke fun at ourselves for some of our Super Bowl predictions at the beginning of the year, although some of us weren't that far off. I don't think none of us were. And some more detail on some of the coach firing and hirings and how they're relevant. And then last, we're going to get into what seems like the back burner of just a little bit of Browns roster stuff and a media take breakdown. So before we get spinning into it, how you guys doing on drinks over there? You filled up and ready?
I am. I brought some Great Lakes Irish Conways with me from home to keep me company.
Irish ale.
This is probably my third favorite Great Lakes, just underneath Christmas, Dortmunder, and then Irish Conways.
That's a pretty good one. They've got a bunch of good ones.
They do.
Wade is really good.
Ooh, I haven't had that one, I don't think, in a while.
That's a good one.
Have you tried the Hop Tropic yet?
Oh, no, whatever the hell. Just piss in your face, I mean, that's the same thing.
You know, my favorite Great Lakes used to be, what was it called? Holy Moses. I heard a rumor they didn't make that anymore, but I wasn't sure.
I don't know.
It was a white ale. It was delicious.
I'm drinking some Brew Kettle. The hot nut from Tony's.
Hey, you gave me one of those at Christmas.
I did. I still have a bunch of them here. They're really strong. They're really strong,
nice.
And they're heavy, man. So I don't drink them often, but
nice little winter beer.
Yeah. So I got that, but I don't know if I can throw this question in here now, Chad, but I also – actually, it wasn't me. I had my whole family enter the Ohio bottle lottery, and it was for, like, Pappy Van Winkle, Eagle Rare, 17, and there was a couple other ones. And my mom actually won the bottle. And so I have a bottle of Eagle Rare 17. And I have, like, mixed messages from everybody. Like, you know, my plan was I wanted to invite people over and have, like, a, you know, special event with it and do that.
But you definitely do that. Let your friends taste it.
Well, that's what I was planning, Chip. You would be there. But and we were going to do, like, food and, like, pairings and things like that and do kind of like a bourbon tasting type deal.
That sounds great.
Literally everybody I talk to, everybody, my family included, says to sell it. Because on the secondary market, this bottle is, like, anywhere from, like, $2,000 to $3,000.
No way. Don't sell it.
Yeah. So, I first of all, I don't have any freaking clue on how to go about doing that.
So, for those who don't know, including me, how does this lottery work? You just win the bot. You just win a bottle of a random bottle.
Chad, let me just say, I've been trying for many years, and I never win. So, I'm so jealous he won.
So the way it goes, you enter and you enter to win a chance to buy a bottle. You don't get to pick which bottle you buy. They just tell you, like, hey, you won this bottle. You have to buy it at the place that you set. So I won the opportunity to buy this bottle of Eagle Rare 17. So I bought the bottle. And that's what they told me.
Value? Is it just it's so rare?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No. You buy it. It's at market value. I think I paid $100 for it.
Okay. And this is just so expensive because it's rare. And so it's a $100 bottle, but it's really much more valuable to other people. Okay.
Yeah. It's never in stock on any shelves. Like, the only way you can get it in the state of Ohio is by winning this lottery.
Let me just make this argument. I highly doubt you're going to get $2,000 for it. What I can tell you is we'll probably never win again because as often as we play and we never win, let's just, you know, make a fire.
We'll wear like our Chip's perspective.
Hang on a second. We'll get some slippers on and some like robes,
bathrobes.
Bathrobes, and really just have a good conversation over bourbon.
Dale,
and we'll never be able to do it again.
Dale, if you had this opportunity, what would be your move right now?
I'm on the I wouldn't know where, like, aside from putting it on Craigslist or so, like, I wouldn't know where you could go to sell it.
Yeah, because dude, you have to like get like a broker or something that takes a cut and.
Yeah, I am a little bit on the side of like. You paid what you paid for it, so it's not like you're losing money, and it's yours.
Yeah,
and you'll probably never get one again. That's
I definitely won't. I know that.
So. Laura also won a lottery, for part of my Christmas gift, and got me. Blue Ridge, and they do a similar thing. They have a few different flavors that they make every year. They're impossible to get, and she ended up winning and was able to go and get the bottle and stuff. So, and now just pesters me, when are you going to drink that? I'm like, I'm not going to drink this as like a casual.
Yeah, this is not
that. This is more of a special occasion type of thing.
I stand where the other guys stand, where I think it probably needs to be shared, and I probably would keep it because even though you could make some money off of it, it's such a rare opportunity. It's a lot, but it's not, I don't know.
But that's guilty money. That's guilt money. You're going to hold that money and be like, damn.
You're just going to probably squander the money over years and never notice where it even went.
Exactly.
Right.
Like
this, right.
Unless you're going to sell that and buy something with that money immediately, then I would not be on board with selling it.
Unless you're going to get some like Top Shots or crypto. I don't know what else you're
using. Wait, I have a perfect idea before we close this conversation. Jim, I'm thinking maybe you take a digital photo of some sort, maybe a GIF of this bottle. And try to sell that for $3,000 to somebody.
Ooh, now you're on it. I'll pour a glass, and somebody can act like they have a glass of Eagle Rare 17.
Just don't screenshot it.
I can almost taste it.
See, that's the thing, too. People have said, like, okay, so let's say you don't sell it, and you open this thing up, you crack it, and it tastes like crap. or people have said too, like, it's bourbon, man. Like, is there really that much of a difference? And
yeah, it's not going to taste like crap. It's going to taste really good.
It's gonna taste great. Trust for you.
Me, I don't care how free. Bad. Exactly. I don't care how bad it tastes. I am. Or here you go. I got a better idea. You want to make some money on it? Invite some friends over, four or five of us. Everyone pitch in 20.
Get my money back.
And you get your money back. And we all share a nice bourbon.
Chip wants me to do this so he has the story. He can tell people and he can look down on people and be like, yeah, well, I had Eagle Rare 17. Fuck you guys. You ever had that?
Yeah.
And I fully support that. I would recommend holding until March, when is the next time I might be in Cleveland. Let's say you do it sometime around St. Patrick's Day. That's a great time for whiskey. All right. So, Dale, you drinking anything worth talking about, or should we get on to some games?
No, we can keep it moving.
All right. Well, the first game we are going to hit is basically we'll go in order here, but it's also one that's obviously of real interest to all of us. The Bengals and, for those who don't know, Dale's Tennessee Titans squared up this weekend. And the results were messy and, you know, in a sort of horrendous but still really exciting because of how it turned out kind of game, the Bengals pull through with the upset. Dale, how are you holding it together?
I'm okay as a dynasty holder of a few Bengals. Little terrified as a Browns fan and a long-term division foe of the Bengals. I didn't really see them as the underdog, though. I've thought Tennessee has kind of been a fake number one seed. I am a Tannehill stan, but I didn't really think Tennessee was ever really like the number one seed or the best in the AFC. I think the AFC was such a mess most of the year. It's just kind of the way it shook out. But I felt more worried for the Browns' future in the division over the long term than I think about anything else.
But in the Browns' defense, we typically own Cincinnati, even with Joe Burrow playing.
You're right.
The cylinders are starting to click and they're hitting, but
yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think that lasts to next year. I think we're going to get our ass handed to
him. Did he have like 9 touchdowns in 2 games and like almost a thousand yards? Like
Jamar Chase too, man.
Yeah.
He's just going to get better.
So I forgot a guy named Denzel Ward.
Yeah. First of all, totally neutralized. I would say the one thing that keeps me from feeling pretty super freaked out by the Bengals, and I know that they are getting ready to head to the AFC Championship, and I can only dream of a time when the Browns might make it that far, but what's the best way to describe it without sounding like I'm just a Bengals hater? The Bengals may have had the easiest route to an AFC Championship that I can think of in the last several years. They beat the Raiders, who I don't think anybody in this podcast even thinks should have been anywhere near smelling the playoffs. And they barely beat them with a field goal. And then
the Raiders though, man, they played the Chargers hard.
I mean, I just think a lot of teams play a lot of teams hard, but I think if you had lined up at the end and thought about it, the Raiders, that Raiders team, I don't think has much of a chance to win many playoff games in any year.
I would agree with that.
You know, that really is a really bad playoff team. And there's always one that sneaks in. And I think they were the worst team probably to make the playoffs. And then the other thing, and the Bengals were at home and squeaked by them barely. You know, they've had coaches fired. They've had players getting arrested. It's the Raiders locker room has been a mess. Of course, they did beat the Chargers, but that is a rivalry game. One of those games where they just go so hard, it could go either way. And it was sort of just a crazy overtime game, too. It was a nuts game. So they just sort of, and everything went right game. And then the Bengals trot in against what Dale just described, and I agree, is like the worst number one seed I can remember in a while. Yeah. And could Tannehill have tried any harder to hand the Bengals the game? He turned the ball over, what, three times? They went into this game going, Tannehill's on fire. He's thrown seven touchdowns with zero interceptions in the last few weeks. And then all Tannehill did was toss the ball to the Bengals defense. And even with three interceptions to the Bengals, they barely, barely squeaked by with a game-winning field goal.
So well, I mean, if it wasn't for the last one.
Yeah, I just don't want to put them on too high of a pedestal. Like, they're dominating the playoffs. I don't think they beat any of the other teams the way they've played. And I'm not saying they won't get better. I'm not – if playing the way they've played the last 2 weeks and they're a little, like, maybe shocked because it's their first time there in a bid and Joe Burrow's first time there. But playing any other AFC team and maybe even NFC team in the playoffs so far, I think the Bengals lose playing the way they've played. But fortunately for them – their defense really stepped up last week and kind of bailed the offense out when they're definitely a stronger offensive team. And now here they are. I mean, it does the results are the results. They're going on with a chance. Yeah,
to the defense's credit, they must have really game planned for Derrick Henry because I'm looking at the box score now. I didn't realize this, but Dante Foreman actually had more yards rushing than Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry rushed the ball 20 times. For only 62 yards. That's a pretty good hole. If you consider Derrick Henry.
For him, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, he came off of a foot surgery.
And he has a steel plate in his foot.
He does.
Can you imagine running with a steel plate in your foot? How the hell does that even happen?
Yeah.
That has to be the most uncomfortable feeling.
He really wasn't even in, like, the middle of the game. Like, watching the second and third quarter, I'd have to go back to, like, the
snap by snap breakdown. Yeah, I think they were giving him a snap count.
I remember, like, watching and just going, he's not out there. Like, oh, they'll put him in the next series or the next play. And, like, consistent drives where he did not go out on the field for entire drives.
How much Chubb flashbacks were you having at that moment? Why is Nicholas Chubb on the sidelines? Why? I think Jim's right. I think he just came off a major surgery. He's been out for, like, 7 or 8 weeks. They felt fortunate. They said if they hadn't had the bye week, he might not have even made it back for the playoffs. And yeah. I think they were saving him in the idea that we can definitely beat the Bengals, and maybe they shouldn't have thought that. And then we're going to need him to ramp up, not just to go all in.
Chad, I got a question about his injury. So, like, I don't remember exactly what it was, like a Jones fracture or something like that. I think that's what it was. I don't know the name or whatever, but does that plate stay in his foot permanently?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I would say in that case of surgery, though, most often in, like, a generalization, they will leave stuff like that in unless it starts to irritate you. So it's typically they'll put that in, they'll let it heal. You can keep it in. And I don't know if athletes typically get them out maybe more often because of what they need to be able to do. But
yeah. Honestly, like Jalen Waddle has. Doesn't he have? He's got, like, plates or something in his ankle.
I would imagine most of the time it's easier just to leave them as long as they're not rubbing something or getting really inflamed or irritated. In which case, they might do an off-season surgery once everything's fully healed to just remove the hardware.
How does that work? I know this is, like, completely off topic, but I'm like very intrigued. Like, I just can't picture walking or cutting or running with.
I mean, it's all along the bone. Yeah, it's all along the bone. So imagine, like, a branch of a tree cracks and you're like, ooh, we can save this and let it, you know, it might seal back together if we just pull the branch back up and we just take this tiny thin metal plate on the top of it and we put a screw in both sides. So now the two pieces of the branch are touching and then they heal back together. And maybe the tree kind of heals into that metal and it just stays there. Or maybe... in a person, because there's so much motion, there's friction there. And they're like, you know, it's in the way now. And this tree branch is fully healed. Let's unscrew these two pieces, put a little piece under there, jimmy it up, and then just take it off and let the rest of that branch kind of just seal up right there. And that's exactly what it's like on the bone. Oh, geez, so I'd imagine he tries to leave it in given his agent situation, but if it starts to bother him, they'll take it out. Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, that was a good question though. I'm not sure what they'll do in his situation. We'll hear about it later on the line. But so this brings me up to my next point, something we were talking about earlier. Where are you guys on the whole situation of rooting for the Bengals?
I'm all in. All in, 100%.
It's hard not to like. I mean, Burrow won, but yep. even the kid McPherson, the rookie kicker, like,
yeah,
just the stories about him, the video. I don't know if anyone saw the video of him when he was in college, kicking a ball in the practice facility, like up into the stands and taking the cap off like a Gatorade bottle.
And, yeah, I saw that. The trick.
Yeah. And just him walking in, like them talking about him, like walking in on day one and the attitude and swagger that he has. And it's like,
yeah, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
You're right. They are a likable group of guys for the most part, but they're in my division. I hate them.
See, yeah,
I lean the chip side also. I can't bring myself. I think it would be very, very different if I was a New England Patriots fan and, you know, the Bills or the Dolphins, who I've just been demolishing for the last decade, finally get themselves good. And you're like, okay, kind of good for them. But because the Browns have been fighting out of the cellar so long and have had it so rough, I don't feel privileged enough to root for any other team in my division to win any more than we're winning. At this point, it's more of like, it just drives me nuts that the Bengals are even there, because it's an injury away from that could have been us situation. And that's pretty frustrating. Even if a likable guy gets the job you wanted, like, I don't want him necessarily to do that well, because I feel like I could be in that spot and I could be doing well. And I just don't want them to be where I feel like I could be.
Right. And like you said earlier, Chad, let them win a Super Bowl, and then we'll be the only team in the division that hasn't won a Super Bowl in who I don't even want to get into how long. Ever.
But so wait a second. So you have the option between rooting for Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes' family.
Stop. This is what nightmares are made of.
I was saving that for this.
Okay.
I have the option of choosing between Travis Kelce, Cleveland's own.
There you go.
Travis Kelce and one of my all-time favorite coaches, Andy Reid, rather than voting for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Here's the thing. If you stay off social media, you can block them two out. But like to Chad's point, you got Travis Kelce.
Unless you're in the stadium and they Cleveland spray champagne all over you. Yeah. Unless you're there.
Dude, I can't stand them. And if I was Patrick Mahomes, I would put both those motherfuckers in check. Like, dude, you guys are embarrassing the shit out of me, and you are ruining my legacy and my image. Cut the shit out. And it's just it's very weird, like the relationship that those two have.
It is. It's a little obnoxious.
Yeah, it's very weird. But going back to the Bengals, man, I actually am all for the Bengals. And I get your point, Chad. I totally like understand what you're saying about, you know, the division and things like that. But
I
like Joe Burrow from Athens. I like his attitude. I like how they – I have Ja'Marr Chase on my fantasy team, but that guy is also just exciting to watch. We don't get a lot of good games in the Cleveland area. We were stuck between Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Baltimore games. So I watch Bengals games just because they're fun to watch. Yeah. Like they look like they're having fun.
I can't really argue with they're fun to watch, but I think this comes from a Cleveland perspective, and we'll see if I'm right, where the Bengals haven't won anything forever and they haven't been a threat to us for so long. So it's like, oh, cool, cheer for them. But I have a lot of Bengals friends from my time in Athens, Ohio, and I remember how obnoxious they were when Carson Palmer was good. They were all on the bandwagon. They pretended they were the greatest fans in the planet, and then
they're equivalent.
All I can think of after that is that's what we're going to be dealing with for the next decade if they go to the Super Bowl. You can't even mention Cincinnati without them being like, oh, you're from Cleveland, you suck. And it's like, oh, all of a sudden they're great and we suck after this many decades.
Yeah, there is not a chance in hell that I am rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs to do anything good anymore, ever.
Okay, but I
literally want to get rid of Patrick Mahomes off my fucking fantasy team.
I'll take him right now. Just think of this perspective, though, Jim. Doesn't it bother you if, like, your team battled and just narrowly lost to the Chiefs, and then the Bengals beat them this week, don't you kind of feel like, oh, if we weren't, we couldn't beat the Chiefs and the Bengals beat the Chiefs, then we weren't even close. Like, I would rather go out, man. I would rather go out. Yeah. If I went out, if my team, if the Browns went out to a team, I hope they go out to the team that goes on to win the Super Bowl. So I can keep telling myself we were this close. Maybe we're right there. But if my team loses to another team, you think, oh, we're not as close as I thought. All right, we better move on. That's a lot of Bengals talk, but I think it will resonate with a lot of the Browns fan because it is a tough one. And I'll tell you what, it's tough not to root for the Bengals. Yeah,
I don't hate the Bengals like I hate. I don't hate the Bengals like I hate the Steelers and the Ravens. Bengals are just like they're like the younger kid that's annoying, and you're like, I can tolerate you.
You give them one Super Bowl in your lifetime, and you will be hating them.
I know their fans are.
No, they're gonna get so obnoxious. They're gonna pretend like Ohio is Bengal country. We've always been here. We're not on the bandwagon now. We were always there, and it's just
I don't want that.
And I don't know, but all right. So moving on, next game of that day. And by the way, I spent that whole weekend going, "Oh man, there's no way the next game will be good as the last game." And there we are. Next game, the San Francisco 49ers. Which was a team that Jim has sort of been saying not to sleep on the entire year, went up on the road against the number one seed in the West, or in the NFC, I'm sorry.
No. Wait. 49ers, Tampa Bay was number two. LA was number one.
Oh, LA was number one. I was thinking the Green Bay was number one. Yeah, Green Bay was number one.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. What the hell am I thinking?
Yeah. Green Bay was number one because they sat last week and watched.
Yeah, you're right.
And so the 49ers go on the road, number one seed in Lambeau, in the weather. And somehow, some way, this team pulled out a win against the Green Bay Packers that social media went knucking futs about the next day. I could not get through a page of Instagram or Twitter without a Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that made me so happy.
I hate Aaron Rodgers. Joker slighting Aaron Rodgers.
They were really just phenomenal. Jeff Schwartz did everyone on Twitter service by just saying, please send me all of the jokes. Mm-hmm. And it was just one place to go and just enjoy all of it.
I love it, dude. It's just so great to see Aaron Rodgers get crushed.
Well, easy on the Rodgers downplaying because he may be a Cleveland Brown. Vegas has him. Vegas has him as the fifth, huh?
Because they want to make money.
Yeah, there's not a chance in hell he's coming to Cleveland.
I don't buy.
Maybe he's going to bring Devontae Adams.
Yeah, yeah, and Brett Favre as his backup too. Like, I'm just.
Wait, can we get Bakhtiari at the left tackle?
Yeah.
Just a team swap would be probably fine with me.
Honestly, you know what? Aaron Rodgers and Stefanski would probably be really good.
Yeah, only because Aaron Rodgers wouldn't listen to him and do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, well, actually, that's true, yeah.
That's what I imagine anyway.
Oh, that's what you want to play? I don't believe in that.
Yeah, audible. So Aaron Rodgers, I don't remember who brought it up this last week on one of the podcasts I listened to. And I listened to so many, there's no way I'd figure it out. But they brought up this point that Aaron Rodgers decided to kind of play the bad guy this year. He went with the role of like, I'm kind of the villain this year and I'm kind of mad and I don't even want to be here and I'm going to show everybody. And he became so polarizing for all the different comments he made. And also just, I mean, everything from his comments and his interviews and his holding out to his hairstyle, everything about him made people like cringe about him this year.
But that all takes away. That all takes away from him not winning the Super Bowl or not going. So I think that, you know, he was kind of like designing it that way. Hey, all the attention's on this. Nobody gives a shit that I didn't win a Super Bowl.
Maybe. I think people, yeah, you might be right, but people are going to notice when they start talking about how great he is and how many times he has fallen short, especially this year, because when you're that top seed, you run out of excuses like, I don't have a receiver, I don't have enough of a line, I don't have enough of a defense, because they played well this year and they were playing in their elements and everything was designed for them to be the team that could win that game. And somehow Jimmy Garoppolo was able to keep his team afloat. And with a monster defensive effort, they came out on top in that game.
I saw something that, I don't know if it was a meme or something, but it was like, over the last 25 or 30 years, you've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers as your only two starting quarterbacks, and you've only won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, pretty disappointing when you kind of get down to it, because that I think Aaron Rodgers is as talented as, I mean, besides Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers is the one quarterback in the league that I think can do anything.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's got a pretty good team around him with good running backs, a good line, a defense that really has stepped up a notch this year, and he couldn't come out of this one with even an NFC championship game is a huge hit to his legacy. This is like LeBron.
But do you even think he cares? Cleveland stuff. I don't think he cares. I don't think he even gives a shit about football anymore.
To be honest, I'm not sure, because I don't get the impression that he's as hurt as some other guys are when they don't win it. But
I mean, honestly, but dude, like, you have to think about it this way. Like, the ultimate goal of an NFL player is to win a Super Bowl. He's already got it. He's already got it. So
one, you know, like, but is one enough to get you in the Hall of Fame?
I don't probably.
Yeah, definitely.
He's gonna end He'll with every top stat.
Jim Kelly is in the Hall of Fame without any.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, Marino.
I mean, Rodgers.
Not a lot, but yeah.
He's got a smoking hot girlfriend.
Favre, and Favre is in.
He's got a smoking hot girlfriend. He's a millionaire. What else does he need?
And he's 38. He's cool. He's like, he's our age. He's like, you know what? Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm at that point where I'm just like, fuck it, dude. Like, I don't really, you know.
I mean, really, the last 2 years he's been in that kind of mentality, which just
it seems that
the
way.
More interviews, the McAfee stuff, just like he's never been out there. He's always been like quiet, reserved, like,
yeah.
And it's been very apparent the last like two seasons. He's just like, I don't care. Like,
I think
I'm going to say whatever I want.
He can
do whatever
do other
I want.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. He finally figured out, like, I can get away with anything. I can do other things. I can be all over the place at this point, And it just keeps me in the news. And yeah,
it all comes back to Chip's dislike for the commercials, man. Progressive is killing Baker Mayfield, and Aaron Rodgers getting killed by State Farm.
Yes, it's commercials, man. Get out of the commercials.
Okay, so where does this leave us with the 49ers?
That defense, I mean, it was nice of you to mention Jimmy Garoppolo. That was thoughtful.
But I mostly mentioned him to see if anybody mentioned, like Chip did earlier, that he's also somebody who's going to be on the market next year. And
he's not
worth mentioning.
Dude, if he goes back, if he goes back to the Super Bowl, there's no way you can get rid of him. You can't.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. I think they have to, but still.
I think with the way they picked a guy number two, I think they pretty much three.
It doesn't matter
they,
though, man.
But depends.
There's no incentive for them to get rid of it. If he takes you to the Super Bowl, you keep him and you let Trey Lance sit another year. There's nothing wrong with sitting.
Yeah.
And you have a guy who's completely capable of managing shit.
I would have thought that was insane, but I also thought like halfway through the season, Lance should have been starting. They should have just benched Garoppolo. So, I mean, I'll take the L on that one, but I would tend to agree. I don't know how you I don't know how you do that. And yeah, he's on a short lease and he has a bad game. Lance might be playing.
Think he is just one of those crazy quarterbacks that does so many unimpressive things a lack of impressive things, but somehow he just keeps ending up on the winning side.
I mean,
this is
that defense. I mean, they shut down.
I know, but don't discredit Kyle Shanahan. He's obviously a big
Chip, this is our argument, man. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is our guy. Like, he's not a stat machine, but he is winning games.
You're not talking me into Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, your argument talks yourself into Jimmy Garoppolo. You're on board, Chip. You have to love him.
he's good, man.
His like raw stats are terrible, but like his advanced metric stats, when you get into like certain percentages and things, they're actually really in like his efficiency. I'll say it that way. His efficiency is really high in what he does. It doesn't make it fun to watch or enjoyable, but it works for the offense and with that defense that can carry you. Now,
dude,
it'll be interesting because defenses are.
His passer rating was 57 and 11 for QBR in that game.
Yeah, those aren't like,
what are we talking about?
Those are not advanced stats. That's
did they win, Chip?
Those are not advanced.
Did they win?
They won in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Keep winning. Here's the thing. So no, Jimmy Garoppolo can be completely cut next year with like no cap hit.
Nothing.
But if they keep him, I forget how much he is, but he is meant like what, $24 million or something if they keep him. And $1 million or something like that if they drop him. And
is that true?
I could see.
No, I don't think that is. Are you sure that's true? Because I
believe, yeah.
I'll pull it up. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah.
I thought, the best option that they had available to them was to keep him.
We'll see.
And honestly, man, like $24 million.
I mean,
the quarterback,
you're paying the top, paying a top three pick. So. No matter what, like that is.
What would be the reasoning to get rid of him?
Getting a draft pick in a trade so that you can continue to build around the new quarterback you just spent a third pick in the draft on.
Yeah, in 22, if they if they cut him pre June 1st, it's 1.4 in dead cap and a $25 million cap saving. So.
And so think about all the pieces you can get with
that's
24
actually post
million.
Yeah, that's pre and post June 1st cut down. So,
are you really sold on Trey Lance, a guy who
I
you
not have to at
be?
All.
It doesn't
I
matter.
Like
it doesn't matter. You took
to
him. You took him with the third pick, and you traded a bunch, and you traded your future assets to get him. This isn't Chip's boy riding the bench while a six rounder like blows him out of the water at running back. Like at that point, it doesn't matter. But like third pick in the draft, like. You're going down with the ship.
He's talking about Trey Sermon, and I am going down with that ship. I have him on my fantasy team, and I'm not dropping him for anybody that's hoping I will.
Hey, I took him as a throw-in in a deal in another league. Don't even feel a little bit good about it.
Yeah,
but
I took him in one, too, and I'm
Chip saw that
I'm
Ohio
so
State
Chip.
Game, and he was ready to blow it on the first round.
I'm so happy Chip traded ahead of me in the Dynasty League to get him because I was like, whew, I might have made that mistake.
I would have
went for it immediately.
I
thought
remember
he had
in
a
that
chance
draft,
to be one of the best guys.
Yep. In that draft, people were messaging me about my second pick, and I was like, I'm not getting rid of it. And they were like, oh, dude, you can get Trey Sermon at this spot. I'm like, I don't want him. I don't want him.
I remember the amount of times I said, hey, that guy that they drafted from the sixth round might actually be the better fit for a zone running scheme. And everyone ripped me off of the chat like it was impossible. Meanwhile, he leads the team in carries, yards, and every other running back statistic. So I don't know that I even knew he existed before they picked him. But
is he going to be running? He seems like he's always hurt. I have him on my fantasy team. Debo Samuel is doing everything for that team.
Yeah, Debo's the guy now. They've found a way to turn him into a running back receiver, and that's gonna be a future in football of a lot more of that. So, but
good for him. His name is Debo. I like him.
Yeah, Shanahan's good at that kind of stuff. So, all right, we will drop the 49ers for now, but some of that conversation for quarterbacks is coming back, including probably both those guys we just talked about. Even though I don't think either of them will end up a Brown. So. Next up, as that was disgusting. Next up, as the weekend went on, was what I next thought was definitely the best game of the weekend, as the Rams and the Buccaneers went at it. And
get the hell out of here,
this was a different game. This was a lopsided. Oh man, the Rams own this game, and of course, I've been following the Rams since the Chargers left. So I'm like, yes, Rams are taking down. The Super Bowl champs, the Rams are taking out Brady. And then lo and behold, and I never got cocky. I never thought they're going all the way. Lo and behold, as I'm sitting there at the end of the third quarter going, but there's still a lot of time. Tom Brady and his team does what they keep on annoyingly doing over and over. And they surge right back into the game and basically walk themselves right back into contention before the Rams were able to finally shut it down and pull in the win, making it the third game of the weekend that came down to a game-winning field goal.
Hey, real and quick, you were being sarcastic, right, when you said this was the game of the weekend?
No. I just said,
you said it was the best game.
To me, each game as they went, I thought this is like the Bengals game.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Well, it was real tight. It was
to
close.
Clarify, it was not the game of the game. Weekend. At, to that
at that
point.
Time. At that point.
At
yeah.
At that point in time.
Yeah.
All right.
As each game went on, the next game came out. Like, oh,
thing,
no,
Chip,
that was
like,
better. This is the game of the weekend. And then, of course, this game's going on. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is even bigger than the last two games. This is the game of the weekend. And as you just alluded to, as everybody would already have known, that sentiment just kept moving on for each game. But where did you guys come out on this? There was a lot of talking points, including Matt Stafford doing something that I was kind of waiting for him to do before I passed judgment on him at any point as a legitimate winning quarterback, besides just throwing for a ton of yards. And that was to make a clutch, calm win in the fourth quarter, making a play to turn the game. And of course we'd be remiss if we didn't also spend a little time talking about our guy, Odell Beckham Jr.
I'm going to say, man, I was actually all for Tampa Bay winning this one. As much as I hated Tom Brady when he was in New England, after watching his docuseries, The Man in the Arena, I don't know, man. I was rooting for him. I mean, like everybody says with LeBron, like we're taking him for granted. And when he's gone, like we're not gonna, you know, nothing like that's gonna ever happen again. And
that's a good point.
I actually
agree with that. I don't think this is ever happening again, even with Mahomes, who I think is more talented than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I don't see somebody consistently winning like
that. Yeah, but
like that guy
I would
has.
Be curious to see how Mahomes keeps playing after Kelce leaves because he's getting older.
And Tyreek Hill's old, too.
Yeah, well, I saw us getting – and so, anyways, that's a conversation for another time. But I don't think he'll have the success Tom Brady has. And no, to
I don't
point,
either. I don't either. I just think he's maybe a little more talented, but I don't think
right.
he will do – what Tom Brady just did.
Tom Brady is not an unlikable guy in Tampa Bay. But in New England, he was, because it was like, it wasn't just him. It was the whole fucking team.
I think it's
Bill
the
Belichick,
New England,
everybody in
yes.
that whole situation. Tampa Bay, like, again, like kind of like going back to what I said about the Bengals, they're like a fun team to watch, man. Like, and you could see Tom Brady's a different person. He's having fun, and you can actually like, see more of his personality out there. And I just, you know, I just want him to see him. In comparison to the other teams that are in the running now, I don't give a shit about the Rams. I actually hate the fucking Rams with a passion. I hate them.
How dare you?
Yeah.
I don't want to see any of them. 49ers, I said, like, they're going to be good, but I don't give a shit about the 49ers. But, you know, like,
most boring team left.
Yeah. I want to enjoy the last bit of Tom Brady that I got.
So what did you guys think about – what did you guys think – and we don't know how much we have left, because for the first time ever, he said a couple things that make you think he could be considering retirement, even though he didn't win. But
so if you watch the docuseries or his documentary, The Man in Arena, he – like a big thing in there is the importance of family and how much, you know, his family has sacrificed for him, allowing him to go out and play. And while Giselle like just kind of has – you know, done the heavy lifting at home and taking care of the kids and things like that, they've given up this part for him to do what he needs to do. I think it's, you know, he's leaning more towards like returning the favor and being back more in the family. So I honestly do think he may be done.
Could be.
Because Tampa Bay's looking like
who his family is. He hasn't been home in 20 years.
Yeah.
You're right. And he's not Brett Favre. He's not, to me, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not the type of person who's like, will I retire? Will I not? Will I, won't I? I think when he says something about retirement, he's genuine that I need to talk about it with my family, and it's something we'll consider. Maybe yeah. I will. I don't think it's an attention getter. I think he's beyond needing to say something to get in a headline. I think
people always look for like secret messages with him, but he was being genuine at that press conference, man. And he was not thinking of anything in the future. He's not. He's just, like you said, Dale, like I got to talk with my family.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought was pretty interesting was you're sitting there watching the game. I don't know about you all, but sitting there, it's 27-3. kind of laughing about the whole Falcons thing. And like every, and then the Rams start turning the ball over and you're just like, he's going to do it.
Yep.
And like in the back of my mind, I'm like, how are we at this point after all the wins, the comebacks, everything? You're like, and I'm like trying to rationalize like, oh, well, what would this mean for his career? Like, we've already put him on the top of everyone else, and now he's still doing things, and it came down to the very end.
And by the way, he's several years older than all of us. How depressing of a thought.
I can barely get off the damn couch.
Dude, I can't go up and down the stairs.
I don't care who says anything about his diet. I can eat an avocado sandwich, you know, every day or whatever. I can drink all the smoothies. There's certain food I could never eat again, and there is no way I can make my body keep doing athletic things.
I feel like I'm like totally plugging this man in the arena thing, but there was one episode in there, and I totally thought of us kind of, but not like to this extent. But one of the things they were talking about, like when the Patriots were really good, they called it edging. And so it was like, it was him, Teddy Bruschi, Vrabel, and all these guys. And so what they would do is they would like constantly try to get an edge on each other. And so like, you know, if Tom Brady came in at 5 a.m, Vrabel would be there at 4:30. And when Brady walked in, the first thing he would say, be like, oh, hey, walking a little bit late today, huh? Don't want to be great today. And they would constantly do shit like that to push each other to be the best that they could do. And Brady said, he's like, that kind of shit helped me get better and want to be the best that he could be. And so like, he's kept that. And I'm like, man, that's fucking great.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it takes. That's why I always bring up, it takes that whole team. It takes a whole culture. It takes a quarterback, a coach, and then everyone else being on board and pushing to the limit. So it really is. I would like to bring up just real quick before you go, Chip, that to everybody listening, Jim is a Buffalo Bills fan. So any talk you hear about Tom Brady in any positive light is probably something slightly tearing away little bits of his soul. So you have to really take it to heart if he's talking about the show or something about Tom Brady's greatness.
Trust me, man. I hated him when he was in New England. I hated it with a passion. I was sick of seeing that shit. But I hated it because it was a division team. But I never didn't respect the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fucking
good best.
Yeah, I want to hear what Chip had to say.
I was just going to say that kind of work effort reminds me of the post office workroom floor.
only focusing on breaks. You're working hard? Shit, dude. I've been taking a break for 4 hours.
Chip's like, what are you doing over there? Are you picking up a box? Oh, yeah. You want to be great today? Cool.
The opposite. It's fun. The opposite of edging. Look at this fucking guy working over here. Gosh. What a fucking idiot. Get out of here.
Oh, you're killing me, Chip. Okay, so quick questions. We got to keep this thing moving. Matt Stafford, you guys were all higher on him than I was, admittedly. I just had too many questions about whether he was just kind of a stat machine and could pass. But to me, one of the biggest attributes of a quarterback is, can he hold it together in the fourth quarter? Can he stay poised in really clutch situations? And can he make, you know, a play if his team affords him that? And they did. And he did it. And that puts him to me on a whole new level. And it wasn't that I ever thought he was bad. It's just that's the difference between, you know, a really good quarterback and a Super Bowl level quarterback, I think. So any change for you guys on him being able to find Cooper Kupp for that score, stay calm if you guys were thinking, Dale, like you said, oh no, here comes Brady, they're going to do it again. I promise you everyone on the Rams was thinking the same thing for at least a little bit. And that can just haunt you and destroy your run. Nobody, you're all equal on Stafford?
I mean, it's hard for me to say, but I think having Cooper Kupp, you know, helps a lot. He did give him almost 200 of his 360 yards. So, I mean, that's, you know, Cooper Kupp's really good.
Okay, so you're at about the same place with Stafford. I'm a little higher on him now. Maybe I caught up to you guys. And on the other side of Cooper Kupp, and I think Cooper Kupp did him a lot of favors because I've heard nonstop talk about him lately, and I think he's had an impressive last two games. But Odell Beckham Jr. showed up again for 6 catches, 69 yards, 11 yards a catch in a you know receiver two role. I mean,
he's doing exactly what they brought him in to do.
Yeah, he sort of is. He has replaced Robert Woods, and he is, you know, no longer hitting big double coverage, and he is making just enough plays to help this team be one notch higher than the teams they're playing against.
But I think that, like, that shows you his development too. I mean, he doesn't really have much development to go because he's an older guy, but I think he knows his role now. And I think he knew it when he was with Cleveland. You know, he wasn't trying to be like the highlight reel guy. He was just trying to do his job, but I don't think they really had a job or anything for him.
Yeah. I'll say this. I watched some of the, what do you call it? What's the, was it all whatever film, more or less you see like every angle. I can't think of the name, but I'm watching some top and back views of him. And it was exactly what we talked about in week 4, 5, 6 with the Browns, of this guy breaking open underneath, shedding coverage. And I think the big difference was Stafford was targeting him at that point, getting him the ball, and he was able to make some plays in the open field and some fantastic catches based on the fact that he was almost a little more trusted already and a little more counted on and found earlier in the routes. Where for a long time in Cleveland, not just recently, I felt like they were trying to use him as this downfield threat. They were trying to get him to beat double coverage and, just like you said, be something that he might not be right now. And that is, you know, just this number one superstar receiver. But he's still pretty damn good. So, all right, moving on to Chip's boy, Akers. I got to tell you what, during the playoffs, I'm shocked he's back. I wish we could talk a little bit more about him from his last week's effort, because it was just phenomenal. One day, and it probably won't be today because we got to keep rolling, but we will get into his injury and what he's sort of overcome and done coming back this season. But also on a negative side, he did have a rougher game. Did he fumble twice in this game?
Yeah.
And was one of the two of the four turnovers that let the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady even come back into existence in this game, because they were done for after three quarters.
To clarify, he was my guy. And my guy, the definition is, are you on my dynasty team? And currently Cam Akers is not. I traded him away, which I'll probably regret this trade for next year sometime, but for Austin Dillon, who I was really getting excited about.
Who?
But the
Dillon. Second, is that the running back for the Packers?
Yes. Who? I mean, he's got AJ really Dillon, big legs. Or A.J. Dillon. I'm sorry.
Austin Dillon. That's NASCAR, Chip. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. I got him mixed up there. A.J. Dillon is what I meant to say. And then he leaves. He goes into the offseason now with a cracked rib. So, yeah, I'm eating the gutter end of that trade. But I'm hoping Cam Akers, you know, hope for the success. But if he doesn't do so well, I won't lose sleep.
Yeah, okay. So no longer Chip's guy. He went with the thighs. And I don't know. You know, it's an up-and-down game for him. He's still doing something amazing, regardless from, like, a PT standpoint. This guy is coming back from that injury. It's just phenomenal. But I don't know. It was a rough game, and he almost blew it for them. And I was at one point surprised they were still running him back out there. So, but the in the end, you know, the Rams come out successful. They had their defense is amazing. Their pass rush and their defensive line is just phenomenal, and they are going to be a force to be reckoned with going forward. I honestly, I don't know. I think just they definitely had the Buccaneers outmatched. I honestly a little bit weird that it was even that close of a game at the end, but hey, you know, the end result is the end result, and we moved on to a third team winning with a field goal. And that almost held true ending regulation with the next game. I feel like we should almost just start with Jim and get that out of the way. Jim, the Chiefs came through on what was a borderline miracle game to end up moving on against the Buffalo Bills. And I'll just open before you even start by saying, I am so sad because that was one of the most fun games I've ever seen. And just again, made me look stupid for declaring each game the best game of the weekend. I cannot believe that that was not the AFC Championship game. I wish it was the Super Bowl. It was awesome, except for the ending, because I really was rooting for you and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I had to go to work and have this conversation so many freaking times. I was like, you know, it was a great game, terrible ending. It started off slow. Like, I was a little bit nervous in the beginning because the Bills never really carried the lead. They were always coming from behind, and it looked like Kansas City was going to just keep rolling. But then, I mean, Josh Allen and Gabriel Davis, holy crap, just played their asses off and did things that I didn't like. To me, like, that's playing with heart. And that's the kind of, like, when we're talking about, like, what the Browns need as a quarterback. Yes, like, Josh Allen is good. Yes, he's more accurate now, and he can do things, he can run. But aside from that, that dude plays with heart. Like, he went in there and just said, like, you are not going to fucking beat me. And played his ass off and brought his team back to the edge. And I remember, man, like, I was up and down. I couldn't even sit that last, like, 6 minutes of that game. I was standing up. And with, like, that last touchdown, I, you know, I'm up celebrating, screaming at the TV, giving the finger to all the Chiefs fans, all the you know, the guy on the sideline of the Chiefs. I don't remember who he was, defensive player. I'm, like, giving the finger. I'm like, fuck you, crybaby, go fucking home, blah, 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 all that. And I look at Rachel, and I'm like, we won. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we won. I'm like, there's no way we can lose this. And then here we go.
Well, I wish you had texted me that so I would have known for sure that you were going to lose before I also did my celebrating.
it was just – so that happened, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Like, this is just, you know, this is typical game management. We got this. And then they kicked the ball out of the end zone, and I was like, what the fuck just happened? I'm like, oh, no. That's when it was like panic. And then Chip sent that text like, oh, don't just wait a minute. And I was like,
easy on the celebrating because I knew you and every other Bills fan was
Chip, celebrating. I was so pissed when I got that from you.
I was afraid you were going to hold it on my head when they won. Like, I was like, oh, no,
this motherfucker drinks my team right now.
So I'll say this. I heard this a lot this weekend, and you said it earlier, so I know you agree. From a lot of smart football guys. And it made me feel a little smarter because I thought the same thing as what you just said. They kicked that ball out of the end zone, and I immediately looked at the other people I was watching the game with, and I was like, why
would you do that? What are you doing that for? Because you could have at least got from 13 seconds to possibly 8 or 9. Granted, Kansas City had all their timeouts. That's fine. Right. But
even if you have them, you have to. That only means in this situation, that only means you can throw to the middle of the field rather than to the sidelines. So really taking them down to that means you might leave them with only 2 offensive plays, possibly 3 if they are just unbelievable.
Both of their strategies contradicted themselves because they punted it out of the end zone and gave them, you know, whatever. Where did they start on 25? I don't even know what the hell.
Yeah, 25. Is.
But then they 25. Played so. But then they played so far off. You know, like you
played goal, so soft.
The goal here is to keep them out of field goal range, and so they didn't squib kick because they didn't want them closer to field goal range, and they didn't want to play that press coverage. But you do the exact opposite, and that it just two contradicting philosophies. That just did not work out. And I'm watching, like, that first play when I saw it wasn't even when they were lining up for that first play, I just saw how the defense was. And I'm like, I looked at Rachel. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? I'm like, what are they doing? They're opening the whole goddamn field. I'm like, I could go play quarterback for the Chiefs right now and get us in field goal range. And
knowing they only have to complete like 2 20-something yard passes to try for a big boot, I totally agree with you. You drop some, you press the receivers, you drop enough guys that it doesn't matter if the press receivers get beat, because there will be two more guys standing back there, because you're not really rushing guys, because you don't have to rush, because
they
have
four guys to hold
the ball.
Yeah, they had four guys on the line, Chad. They don't need four guys.
No,
put three on the line and put everybody in.
Yeah,
the
you only need two, because you're trying to give Patrick Mahomes time, because you don't need him to rush the throw, because the more time he takes, the less plays they get. If he drops back in the pocket and has all this time to look around, that's just more time that he's holding the ball. Uh-huh. And I just agree with you so much. Like, they should have put the ball on the ground on the turf, and you should have made them return it. And then you should have rushed like two and hoped one of them can pull something amazing, but had guys all over the field so that A, if he caught the ball, you can pick a guy up, half tackle him. So two more seconds come off the clock, get him to the ground. They use the timeout. They have plenty, but at least you're making him throw short passes and not finding receivers like Kelce and Hill.
Yeah. Who and can forcing really... their kicker. Forcing Butker, who actually played like shit that game.
Yeah,
I would, you know, you're forcing him to kick maybe what a 60, you know, 50 some yard field goal. That should have been the move. And then I don't know, man, they get that field goal. I actually was hoping he would miss it based on how he played that game. But once they lost that coin toss, it was done. It was done. I knew it too. I knew it.
So this brings us, obviously, so first of all, before we even get into the overtime stuff, I got to give props to Josh Allen. I have never seen a guy develop the way this guy has. And
me either.
You guys are in for a long time of a great quarterback who may be able to help your team contend for a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I'll eat crow on that one too, because I remember I hated him. I hated him when they drafted him. I was there when it, like, well, not there, but me and Chip went out. I hated it. And I just, because he was terrible. He was terrible his first 2 years, and then I don't know
what the hell happened. Winning, but he was inconsistent and tough to watch. It was rough.
Yeah. People in Buffalo loved him, though. They loved him, and their main reason was because he ran. And I'm like, that's not what quarterbacks are supposed to do, you idiot.
Well, he's also just a big body with a big arm, too.
And it made a difference. If he was still the guy that just ran and then launched the ball for dear life down the field – but he showed so much over the last 2 years, and I think it was highlighted so much in this game that he can find a receiver. He knows how to run, but he also knows when running is not the right play. You need to start to run and then stop and launch it into the end zone.
He didn't know that at the start of his career. Now he does.
No, he didn't. And he can whoever do it. He's got the talent, the arm talent. So, wow.
Send Baker to whoever Josh Allen went
to,
man.
Yeah, why can't we develop guys good? It seems like the story with the Browns is always we use them incorrectly. We never get the story that's, wow, we developed him well.
Sean McDermott made huge mistakes
in this game. Sean McDermott made some really big learning experience mistakes in this game. But I think we've all stood by to say he is a really good coach.
Hell yeah, he is. I would never get rid of
that,
him.
Yeah, and that team has been very consistent. And we've talked about it time and time again. You want to talk about developing Baker? You can't do it with three head coaches and four offensive coordinators in 3 years. It just is not the way to build and run a team. You need a good coach, and you need to let
that
coach develop with your quarterback.
Do you stick with garbage? Because I feel like we've had garbage. I feel like Kevin Stefanski is the closest thing that you could feel comfortable sticking with. But all these other ones, you can't. Like, you cannot feel comfortable.
You're totally right, and it sounds stupid, but you can't do either. You have to hire the right guys, and then you have to give those guys time to develop, and the coaches have to take it upon themselves to develop, to change offensive coordinators if it's not working, to hire the right guys. Mm-hmm. And I hope and pray Stefanski is learning from these mistakes rather than what looked this year like sticking to his guns, because McDermott helped develop this guy, but they are not running the offense they ran when he started. They're not even running the offense in the playoffs that they ran in the season, because in the last 2 weeks they have begun running the ball. They must have self-evaluated, because they're doing things differently and better.
So one of the things that I read now with like Brian Daboll possibly on the gone, move. He interviewed twice with the Giants, so I'm assuming that's probably going to happen. But they interviewed McDermott about that, and he said Josh Allen is going to have a big part in the interview process for our offensive coordinator, where I feel like – and I immediately thought of the Browns, and I was like, there's no fucking chance Kevin Stefanski would ever let that happen. He would never give Baker that kind of, you know, authority or ownership. I just don't think he would.
Okay.
And I,
well, it's like, looking like he's going to the Giants, but we don't know for sure. But I see your point.
Like, Josh Allen is an integral part of that team, and they're giving him say on what's going to help make him successful. Where I feel like in Cleveland, Stefanski is saying, this is my fucking ship. You guys fall in line and listen to what I have to say and trust me.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm hoping that that is not going to be the case, because part of what makes a coach great is self-evaluation. And if you can't, you can have a great system. Shanahan has a great system. He found a way to use Debo Samuels. He finds a way to use guys. He adjusts even slightly. You know, he has two quarterbacks in his room right now that are absolutely completely different. And, you know, a good coach will find a way to change things to make it work for each of them. And I hope Stefanski can do it. McDermott certainly has, and he is sitting pretty, and so are the Bills fans with this quarterback. Yep. I wish we could feel as stable at this point. So, yeah, game. I mean, I agree with everything. I think they really gave that game up. And again, it's a shame that it wasn't a week later, because it may be one of the, it may be the best game we've seen all year. Quickly, let's go on to the overtime rule. Are you guys okay with the way overtime played out? Or, I mean, of course, this is the time it would happen, but people are freaking out about needing a new overtime rule, even though they did just change it a few years ago.
I think it should be changed. I mean, if you look at other sports like the NBA, if it goes into overtime, it's not the first person who makes a shot, right? They play pretty much a whole nother period. Baseball. Jesus, they go till somebody wins, which yeah, I would
and
like.
I think that's what they're trying to avoid. I think they're trying to avoid letting a team, because imagine the Bills and with the way that was going, the Bills and the Chiefs play, you know, two more quarters. I mean, you got chances
for
injuries. Everybody's wearing down. That's what they're trying to avoid, I think. So they need some kind of way to end the game more fairly without playing forever. And you obviously can't tie in the playoffs. So
I think you have to give both sides of a team an opportunity to play. You can't just put it squarely on one side of the ball to win the game.
Yeah. What do you think, Chip?
Yeah, I agree with what Jim said there. I think that if the first team scores a touchdown, the second team gets a chance to score a touchdown. They have to score a touchdown.
And what if they do? Then how do you guys proceed?
Then I would just keep going. At some point, someone's not going to score a touchdown.
Yeah, or then it's the next person to score a touchdown, not a field goal.
Even after that, yeah, I could live with probably after that. Well, because then you're in the same boat you are now, Jim. What if they score a touchdown, you score a touchdown, and then they score a touchdown, you lose? You're in the same boat. You're in the beginning.
But you know what? But at least
I feel like every time someone scores a touchdown, you play until someone can't score a touchdown.
But Chip, with that, what I just said, then both sides of your team had an opportunity, right? So they both had an opportunity to win that game. And they did, right?
Yeah, but I don't think there's any question anyone who got that coin toss is going down and scoring a touchdown.
Yeah. But
so
then
let me
put Josh Allen back on that field.
Let me give you guys an interesting statistic and see if this changes your mind or if you still think the same. Would you guys like to guess? Since they changed the overtime rule to a field goal is no longer good enough, you can win
already,
the game.
I already know this, Chad. I already saw the numbers on this. It's bad.
So, listen to this. So in, and this is in total. So we'll just go with the whole, since they changed the rule, the coin toss winner has ended up winning the game 52.8% of the time.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
So 53% of the time.
A little more than
that. Would that change your mind about whether this rule is fair enough?
I thought it was different. I thought like in it wasn't in the playoffs. In the playoffs, 10 out of 11 teams that have won the coin toss have won.
So that's actually true. That was a setup. So yeah, why do you think that is? Different. I think to me that seems like
you're at a different caliber.
That is, yeah, the reason that is because when you're in the playoffs, you probably have a great offense. So yeah. in the normal world, two teams that tie 10-10 can go in and it's 50-50 because maybe neither offense can score. But when you get to the playoffs, 91% of the time, the team that wins the coin toss is winning. And I think that's just a testament to playoff teams can score. And that's where I think the regular season, I'm okay with this rule. I don't think it's a good enough rule for the playoffs because you cannot have a 50-50 flip decide a game 90% of the time. That's way too much.
Well, that's what I was saying is like if the coin toss winning team or a team goes down and scores a touchdown, then basically you play until someone doesn't score a touchdown. That's what I would do.
So, okay.
But what Chad is saying, I think the worry is that they could go on for like an hour.
At some point, someone's on
and they've got other – like imagine this was the first game of the night.
And I don't even think it's going to go that long. I think it's going to go two or three attempts before someone – and I mean –
But think about baseball. You know, sometimes baseball goes into like 17 innings. And in a like playoff game, you just can't have that in football.
No.
It's not like baseball where guys are standing around. Everyone's getting crushed every play. So I think that's what they're trying to avoid. But I don't disagree with you. Listen to this idea and let me know what you guys think. Because I heard it. It wasn't my idea. But I thought that is the most intriguing idea I've heard without barely changing anything. If the regular time ends in a tie, instead of flipping a coin or stopping the play or going in the center or doing anything, there's basically a 2-minute warning style timeout, and then you just keep playing. What would you guys think of that?
Say that again.
So basically, you don't go in the end for a coin toss when the game ends. The game ends regulation, and they say the game ends regulation, and they basically go to a commercial timeout, and then they just come back in, and they pick off exactly where they left off. So in this scenario, the Chiefs kicked a game winner with no time on the clock at all just to tie the game. That was their miracle. We brought it to a tie. It goes to a timeout, and then they come back, and they just continue. So the Chiefs just scored a field goal, so they would then kick off. Or say
I kind of like that. But
say it's 28-28.
Limit the time to like 5 minutes.
Yeah, the time. Yeah, you could play with that. I'd be up for that. But think about the Chiefs had the ball, and it's 35-35. And they drive to the 40-yard line, and then the clock stops. Well, they pick up after a commercial, and the Chiefs are still on the 40-yard line with the ball, and they just keep going.
After they kick the field goal and tied it?
No, there's no field goal. Like in a case, so in this case, they would have kicked the field goal and tied it, and then they would have kicked off to start overtime.
Overtime,
10 minutes on the clock. You kick off, first team to score wins, but you're kicking off now because you were the team behind, and yeah, you took it overtime, but now you need to stop them because
I like the
team that came back.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
A lot.
Or if you know, the Chiefs were to have the ball and tied and the clock ran out, they'd come back out with the ball again and just keep going, and the Bills would have to stop them. I heard that, and I was like, oh, my God. That is my favorite new idea for overtime. You just keep playing. They just put 10 minutes back on the clock, first team to score, but they just keep going from wherever they left off.
Yeah, because if you were the one that came back and tied it, you were down.
Now you have to play defense.
Yeah. But yeah, like, you should be at the not the competitive disadvantage, but you should be at the disadvantage.
You should be. Yeah, you came back to tie, but now the Bills get the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. That seems more fair. But it's, just think about it this logical, way. It follows the logical flow of the game.
Of football. Let's say the Kansas City Chiefs kicked that field goal to win the game and there were still 25 seconds left. Well, now you're kicking off to the Bills with 25 seconds left, and the Bills know if time runs out, we're just going to keep the ball and keep going. So they can just play football. They don't have to do Hail Marys. They don't have to, you know, that's something that would be saved to win overtime now, not to win the game. Or if, you know, I just think that would be a pretty amazing way to go.
I like it, Chad.
Yeah. So, all right. Last thing of the day. And it was just too good of a weekend to get on to Brown stuff. I think you were right, Jim. There's no reason to take down a great week of football by talking about this terrible team.
Yeah, exactly.
But all I wanted to get into, jokingly, was our Super Bowl predictions. As you guys might have heard, Dale had some crying kid trouble, and he had to jet out early. So we'll go over his too. But I just wanted to quickly go through playoff predictions, and I can give you a preview. Dale is a stupid idiot that doesn't know anything about football, and Jim and Chip and I are at least 50% geniuses. Chip, who did you have in the Super Bowl?
I had Rams and Browns.
And I think we all agree that was the Super Bowl if Baker Mayfield hadn't got hurt, making Chip the smartest of all of us.
There were a lot with our biased Browns views, but yeah.
But Chip, minus the biased Browns view, there was a lot of people that that's what they thought. They thought the Browns were going, man.
Yeah. I think coming off last year, I think that was reasonable. I don't think anybody was a homer.
That's not even a homer. That's not even a homer pick for Chip. That's like
you thought the Bills or Browns were going. Yeah. If you thought the Bills were and Browns were going off of what you saw last year, that's just a pretty decent shot. But the Rams are still in it. We'll see if Chip can stay in this a little bit longer with his pick. I'll just jump in and say I had Green Bay. I cannot believe they let me down given the circumstances. I thought they were moving on for sure. They blew it. But I did have Kansas City kind of repeating at the top of the AFC, and they're still in it. Dale had the Bills, who I think deserve it, but were just a letdown, and the Packers, who were as big of a letdown but don't deserve it because Aaron Rodgers is a douche. Yes. And Jim, who'd you have?
I had the 49ers and the Bills.
And reasonable with the Bills. Shockingly, out of those two teams, which one of those teams is the better team?
Bills. Yeah. The reason I said the 49ers is because, so 2 years ago, they made it to the Super Bowl. They pretty much kept their team intact. The next year, were just destroyed by injuries. Now they got everybody back. That's still a Super Bowl contending team, and I still think they are.
And I'm just going to say this for all the Browns honks out there that are actually listening to this podcast. If you are looking, and I know we didn't go to the Super Bowl, obviously, I'm not exaggerating that high. If you are looking for a reason to believe that the Browns are not as big of a disaster as you thought, you're looking to the 49ers and seeing they were a good team, they made a good run, they were devastated by injuries in pretty much every area the next year. They fell off. People forgot about them. People talked crap about them. And Jim was on board the whole time to point out they're still good. They were just hurt. That is what you're praying for next year.
That's a good point.
The Browns are still good. They were just hurt. And everyone forgetting about them is just fuel to prove everybody wrong the next year.
That's a really good point, Chad.
Yeah. I know we were running out of time, but one of the things I just read about the Bills, and they didn't really have any injuries really, and one of the things that they credited that to is that they don't do squats. They don't do squats. They said
they have one major injury, in my opinion, Tre'Davious White.
Oh, yeah. I think if he was in that game, it would have been a different story.
They do have one of the healthiest teams.
He definitely would have followed. He would have followed Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a fun PT conversation because there's a lot to be said about the power you can get from squats, but there's also a lot to be said about the fact that no one in the NFL moves in a slow up and down motion with a ton of weight on them. It's a lot about explosion and quick movements and agility. And it's not that that exercise is ever going anywhere, but I would not be opposed to shifting that to more functional, more plyometric, more dynamic movements.
Yep.
Final thoughts. The Texans fired David Culley. I mentioned this on last week's pod. The only reason it's relevant to the Browns is because Deshaun Watson really wanted out as a relationship to hating that guy. And it's something I wanted Browns fans to keep an eye on because of all the quarterbacks that are going to be popping up on our next podcast on the who's available and who would be worth moving on from Baker for. That is a guy that we'll be talking a bit about. So we'll see how things develop as the Texans hire their new head coach. Brian Flores was fired. I talked about it a little last week, but man, this dude has done so much with so much inconsistency and so much trouble on the roster down in Miami. If I was you, Jim, I would just be so happy that he was gone because I think he was a stud of a coach. I will be absolutely floored and just think the guy must be a total jerk if he is not hired somewhere immediately for a head coach position.
That's what the word on the street is that he just did not get along with people.
Maybe. Is he a bright guy? And we'll see where he ends up. He's one of the few guys on the market, and I'm all for stability. Stick with Stefanski. Let him learn. He's still very new at this. Hopefully he makes some changes. But that's the type of guy where it's like, ooh, he has done some good stuff with a worse situation, I think. Huge news today. Sean Payton stepped down from coaching. That was a shocker for me. That's relevant because watch the way that organization probably has to do a full rebuild. And they have a lot of good, highly paid players that may have to hit the market because you don't keep those kind of players on a team without a quarterback and with a new coach coming in. And lastly, in a bit of coaching news and sort of related Browns news, the Vikings did fire Mike Zimmer last week. They just hired the Browns vice president of football operations as their new GM. That's Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, one of the two Browns front office guys to actually interview for that position. And so I don't buy it, but get ready for the everyone from Minnesota to the Browns speculation, because everyone's going to assume that Minnesota's going to want to get rid of everybody. And because this guy works for the Browns, he's going to send them all to Cleveland and or vice versa. This guy probably automatically loves Baker because he was a Browns front office guy for 1 year, 2 years, and the Browns, that's where the Browns would be sending Baker. I don't buy any of it, but it will be an interesting week of crazy speculation. And that was about it on my list. Next week, we got some really big stuff going into the Browns roster. We'll have less games to cover, obviously, so we'll get through that quick. I hope they're good ones. I have looked stupid already this week saying it, but I cannot fathom that those games will be as good as this week's games were. But after that's over, we'll be covering Browns unrestricted free agents. We'll be covering quarterbacks who might be on the market. We'll be covering guys that the Browns might be able to cut. We'll be previewing the Super Bowl, and we will be just kind of going over some of our main team needs and some big NFL news as everything wraps up and the new season gets ready to turn over.
Yeah.
Any final things from you guys?
I'm all good, man.
No, that's it. As always, it's good tuning in with you guys again.
Yeah. Yeah. See you next week, huh?
All right. Follow us, Coast, the number 2, Coast X3 on Twitter. Like and subscribe to the podcast. Let's try to keep this going. We're going to keep them week to week for now and then swap them to a little less frequent in the off season. But as you can see, there's still quite a bit to talk about. And from all the coasters, hey, have a good week.